Welcome to House of David's Teaching on Covenant. This is part two. What is it and why should I care? Before we start into part two, let's review what we covered in part one. First, we started with what was the purpose of this teaching initially. We wanted to cover what is covenant, what covenant are we a part of, who are the parties in the covenant, what are the conditions or vows, are there benefits or consequences, and how do I know that I am in? So let's review. We started out with Yahweh, who is the creator of all and the covenant author. It is his covenant, each of them are, and they're under his terms, not ours. Then we have Yeshua, agent of the covenant author, perfect image bearer of Yahweh. This would be important, as we will see. Then we had the Holy Spirit. It's given by the Father to empower us to be his image bearers, enabling us to do what we cannot do in our flesh, namely, be like Yeshua. Then we came up with a definition for covenant, and I went with just a standard definition from the dictionary rather than a biblical definition because I wanted to let the covenants dictate what they were rather than a preconceived notion. So to see, just a standard definition is a formal, solemn, and binding agreement, usually under seal between two or more parties for the performance of some action. Pretty basic. Then we covered unilateral. A unilateral covenant is constituting or relating to a contract or engagement by which an express obligation to do or forbear is imposed on only one party. So only one side has an obligation in a unilateral covenant. Both sides can benefit, but only one side has any obligations. A bilateral covenant affects reciprocally two nations or parties. It is binding on both parties. In other words, each side has vows that they are to perform. Then we covered sin. Literally, sin is transgression of Yahweh's instruction, not just in actions, but wrong thoughts, unclean heart, whatever is not of faith. Then we went to forgiveness and repentance. And just basically to cover, there is not forgiveness without repentance. And then finally we covered two covenants that are not expressly stated or defined in the scriptures, and yet we see them all through the scriptures, which was threshold covenant and blood covenant. Now before we proceed, did anyone have questions regarding any of this that we reviewed? Okay, then let's begin. The first covenant that we come to is the Adamic covenant. This was a covenant that, at least in the circles that I came up in, you would hear mentioned, but never really was delved into or covered or defined, because generally the assumption was that it was old, we didn't need it anymore. But let's see what the scriptures have to say for us. Let's start in Genesis 1, 26 through 27. Then Elohim said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So Elohim created man in his own image. In the likeness of Elohim, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Let's look at these two words, image and likeness. They are the Hebrew words, tselem, image, and demut, likeness. Tselem, as we said, is image. But let's look at the Paleo-Hebrew word picture to see if we can't gain some greater clarity of what this word means. Tselem is made of the consonants tzadik, which looked like a fish hook. Generally, that would give the picture of desire or need. Next is a lamed, which looked like a cattle goad. It would represent the idea of control or authority. And last is a mem. It looks like water or rippling water. The idea of chaos, something's not still, unsettled. And what we can see from this in putting these together is that there's a desire to have control over chaos. It is the prime directive. This is the image of the Father who created perfect order out of chaos in the 6 days of creation. Let's move to Demut, which is likeness. Demut is made up of four letters. The first is Dalet, which looks like a door. It gives us a picture of a pathway or to enter. Next is a mem. Again, we discussed that before. It looks like water, rippling water. It's chaos. The third is a vav, which looks like a nail. It has the idea of to secure, like you nail something together. Last is a tav, which looks like a sign, or we might say it looks like a cross. Literally would mean to seal or covenant. And a way of putting these together can give us the idea of a path to securing a covenant over chaos. The idea of these two words is not that we are created in similarity or of the same essence as the Almighty, the Creator, but we are created to act like Him. We are to be His living image, His image bearers. This is what it means to be a human being. The problem is that man's complete desire is designed to be for the will of the Almighty, for the will of the created. And yet, from the very beginning, man has turned it elsewhere. This is sin. This is what breaks the covenant. Now let us see if there is anything else in the original design. Genesis 1, 28 and 29. And Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said to them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue, and take dominion over the creation. Let's remember these instructions for later. But might I point out that He gave them dominion over all the animals, not over man. And Elohim said, Behold, I have given you every plant-yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. Yahweh's design is for all of mankind to be in dependent obedience to Him in everything. In where he lives, in what he eats, in what instructions he is to follow, not his own, not man's own desires. There is one more aspect to the original design that I think is vitally important. Genesis 2:25. And the man and his wife were both naked, arum, and were not ashamed. Then we also see another mention of being naked, Genesis 3:7. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, evrom. What is interesting is that we see two different words used for naked in Genesis 2:25 and Genesis 3:7. When their eyes were opened and they knew that they were naked. The second word is evrom, which literally means naked and helpless. They were ashamed to be exposed even though they had always been naked. The first use in Genesis 2 is the word arom. It means to be revealed, open, made manifest, in the light, non-defensive, or without barriers. Let's think about those as we continue to go through and as we look at the scriptures. Mankind was designed to be open and revealed without shame, not only before Yahweh, but before each other also, because they were not ashamed. This gives us the idea of community, how living together is supposed to look like. Now let's move to the Noahide Covenant. Genesis 6:5. Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 7. So Yahweh said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. We see here that Yahweh has limits to his enduring with his creation. There comes a time when he will cleanse, even when man will not. Yet he is faithful to uphold those who keep his covenant. Genesis 7:1-3. Then Yahweh said to Noah, Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and 7 pairs of the birds of the heavens also, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of all the earth. We are beginning to see a picture of restoring. Keep this in mind as we will discuss it later. Let's go to Genesis chapter 8. Then Yahweh said to Noah, Go out from the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. Here we see, among other things, the crossing of the threshold. Yahweh bringing man back into covenant with him. Then Noah built an ark to Yahweh and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And now we see the blood covenant. This is Yahweh reestablishing, letting Noah know that you are with me, and I am with you. Verse 21, And when Yahweh smelled the pleasing aroma, Yahweh said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. What we see here is a unilateral covenant. But we also see that Yahweh has done the subduing that he instructed man to perform in Genesis 1:28. Remember this for later also. Next, let's cover the Abrahamic covenant. Genesis 15:4-5. And behold, the word of Yahweh came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Here we see Yahweh promising to multiply Abram. Again, he is faithful to provide. Abram is to walk in dependent obedience. Genesis 15:7-10. And he said to him, I am Yahweh who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, Adonai Yahweh, how am I to know that I shall possess it? Bringing Abram into the land is a picture of threshold covenant. It is also a foreshadowing of being restored to the land that man was taken out of. He said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And now we see the cutting of the blood covenant. Again, we see a unilateral covenant as Abram does not walk through the pieces. Genesis 17:5. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. Now we seem to see what seems to be a slight revision of the covenant. But let's take a closer look. We really are seeing a more detailed revelation of Yahweh's covenant with mankind. The covenant says that we are desired to be his image bearers. Yahweh is establishing a covenant people to produce godly seed, not just a lot of people to fill the earth as they please. Now let's take a quick look at circumcision. Genesis 17:9-13. And Yahweh said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money, from any foreigner who is not of your offspring. Both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Abraham is now promising to make a lasting covenant of blood on the threshold. The covenant is about producing seed that are raised to walk in covenant with Yahweh, not physical people who are in no matter what. That is why Paul can state in Romans 2:25-28, for circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law, but if you break the Torah, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So if a man is uncircumcised, so if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the Torah, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the Torah will condemn you who have the written code and circumcision but break the Torah. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. Now let's go to what's commonly referred to as the Old Covenant. Now, we're going to motor through here pretty quick. We're going to cover a lot of ground. We're going to go from Deuteronomy 27:1 all the way into 30. Now, let's dig in. As we go through, we're going to answer the questions of who are the parties, what are the conditions, their benefits or consequences, and possibly see how do you know you're in. Let's start in 27:1. This is the people's vow. Now Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep the whole commandment that I command you today. Everything, all of it. Deuteronomy 27:2-4. And on the day you cross over the Jordan to the land that Yahweh Elohim is giving you, you shall set up large stones and plaster them with plaster. And you shall write on them all the words of this law when you cross over to enter the land that Yahweh Elohim is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as Yahweh, the Elohim of your fathers, has promised you. See, here we see, remember we talked before, they're setting up pillars, stones. These are boundary markers. This is a threshold into the land. So anyone that comes into this land crosses the threshold. Let's look next. When you have crossed over the Jordan, you shall set up these stones concerning which I command you today on Mount Ebal, and you shall plaster them with plaster. 5-8. And there you shall build an altar to Yahweh Elohim, an altar of stones. You shall wield no iron tool on them. You shall build an altar to Yahweh Elohim of uncut stones, and you shall offer burnt offerings on it to Yahweh Elohim. And you shall sacrifice peace offerings, and shall eat there. And you shall rejoice before Yahweh Elohim. And you shall write on the stones all the words of this law very plainly. See, we have the giving of the blood at the threshold. So we have a blood covenant. And the people would have understood this very plainly walking in there. 27:9 is interesting. Let's read this. Then Moses and the Levitical priest said to all Israel, "Keep silence and hear, O Israel. This day you have become the people of Yahweh Elohim." Interesting that they said, "You have become his people." What we're seeing here is that they're stepping into the covenant. They're becoming a part of the covenant. Let's continue on. Deuteronomy 27:11-26. This has the consequences for breaking the covenant instruction. I'll just give a couple examples. Verse 15. Cursed be the man who makes a carved or cast metal image, an abomination to Yahweh, a thing made by the hands of a craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Verse 26. Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And all the people shall say, Amen. Pretty strong language. Again, it is about doing, not just acknowledging. Deuteronomy 28:1-14. This is going to give us Yahweh's vows of blessing for obedience. Again, just a couple examples. Verse 1, And if you faithfully obey the voice of Yahweh Elohim, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, Yahweh Elohim will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Verse 9, Yahweh will establish you as a people holy to himself, set apart, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of Yahweh Elohim and walk in his ways. Again, we see, as we walk in dependent obedience. In Deuteronomy 28:15-68, again, we have more consequences for disobedience, for not walking in the covenant. This should not come as a surprise, for we know that he is a jealous Elohim. Again, just a few examples. Verse 20. Yahweh will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in all that you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. Verse 32. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, while your eyes look on and fail with longing for them all day long, but you shall be helpless. Are we paying attention to what is happening today? See, it's interesting. These verses are talking about those that don't walk in the covenant. And as we will see, they will be displaced out. See, what comes to mind when I see this is that those that call themselves the church nowadays, by their own statistics, and they lament this from their pulpits monthly, weekly, almost daily, that they're losing their children. 90% of all children, quote, raised in the church by age 19, leave the faith and don't come back. But how does that apply to being given to another people? They know that 10% of those kids are leaving and going to Islam. Children are being given to another people without ever leaving their own borders. Our God will not be mocked. Verse 63, and as Yahweh took delight in doing you good and multiplying you, so Yahweh will take delight in bringing ruin upon you and destroying you, and you shall be plucked off the land that you are entering to take possession of it. You can be plucked away from the promised land for not walking in covenant. Now, Deuteronomy 29, 1 through 8. Establishes the might and dependability of Yahweh. Now we're getting to the parties. Verse 2, and Moshe summoned all Israel and said to them, you have seen all that Yahweh did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. It continues on through, showing that how he delivered them with a mighty hand, how he destroyed the armies of Pharaoh, how he delivered them through the Red Sea. Now, let's get to who are his people. This word, Israel. Deuteronomy 29, 9 through 15. Now, in verse 1, it says that these are the words of the covenant which Yahweh commanded Moshe to make with all Israel. Let's see who Israel is. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. You are standing today, all of you, before Yahweh Elohim, the heads of your tribes, your elders, and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the sojourner who is in your camp, from the one who chops your wood to the one who draws your water, so that you may enter into the sworn covenant of Yahweh Elohim, which Yahweh Elohim is making with you today, that he may establish you today as his people, and that he may be your Elohim, as he promised you, and as he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. It is not with you alone that I am making this sworn covenant, but with whoever is standing here today with us before Yahweh Elohim, and with whoever is not here with us today. Finally, we have a definition of who the covenant people are, and it ain't just the 12 tribes. See, it was a mixed multitude that's standing here. It was a mixed multitude that came out of Egypt. And what did that mixed multitude have in common? They entered in by faith in the blood of the Lamb. Those who committed themselves to Yahweh and his realm through threshold and blood covenant at Passover. That was what they took on. They knew that's what they were taking on when they entered into the houses of the Israelites who had the blood on the doorposts and lintels. What is next might surprise us. Deuteronomy 29:16 through 28. Now we see prophecy of falling away from the covenant. Start with 18 and 19. Beware lest there be among you a man or woman or clan or tribe whose heart is turning away today from Yahweh Elohim to go and serve the gods of those nations. Beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit, one who, when he hears the words of this sworn covenant, blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall be safe, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. This will lead to the sweeping away of moist and dry alike. Let's look at 28. And Yahweh uprooted them from their land in anger and fury and great wrath, and cast them into another land as they are this day. Finally, we see dispersion among the nations. Sounds depressing. Same old meanie God. No wonder we needed a new covenant. Look at Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 16. Here we see the way back. Verse 3. Then Yahweh Elohim will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you, and he will gather you again from all the peoples where Yahweh Elohim has scattered you. Verse 6. And Yahweh Elohim will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love Yahweh Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Sounds familiar. Before we move on, I want to point to a particular instruction that is repeated for his people many times over. Just a few examples. Leviticus 11:45. For I am Yahweh who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your Elohim. You shall therefore be set apart, for I am set apart. Leviticus 19:2. Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be set apart, for I, Yahweh Elohim, am set apart. Leviticus 20:26. You shall be set apart to me, for I, Yahweh, am set apart and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. This is the same covenant language that was given in the beginning. Be like me. Be my image bearers. Now we will look at David. Second Samuel 7, 10 through 17. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, Yahweh declares to you that Yahweh will make you a house. Verse 16. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure, Olam, before me. Your throne shall be established, Olam. This is Yahweh's promise to place the perfect image bearer on the throne to rule in that perfect dominion, as Yahweh instructed from the beginning. Now let's move to what we call the New Covenant. Just a few questions. What is new about this covenant? And does it do away with the other ones? Let's see. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Yehuda. 32. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares Yahweh. Why is this not like that other covenant? Was the covenant faulty, or was the problem with one of the parties? Let's continue on. 33. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares Yahweh. I will put my Torah within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. See, mankind is still to follow his instruction, be his image bearers. Brings a good question, though. How will he write it on our hearts? Verse 34. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Not all of this new covenant has come to pass yet. Our part of this covenant is still to be his image bearers. The question of how he will write it on our hearts. The question is, how will he write it on our hearts? And what does it look like to walk in his instruction? Let's go to the perfect image bearer. John 14:6-12. Yeshua saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Yeshua said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Again, we see the Father does the works through the Son, works that we shall do also. How does he do the will of the Father? Isaiah 11:2, referring to the coming Messiah. And the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yahweh. Acts 1:8, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Acts 10:38. How Elohim anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for Elohim was with him. Romans 8:9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of Elohim dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Yeshua said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth because he is the living Word. He showed us the fullness of our Father's instruction. He is the way because, as we have just seen, he walked completely in the will of the Father, not his own, by the power of the Spirit. The same Spirit that is given to us if we submit our own wills and desires in dependent obedience. Finally, he is the life. Hebrews 10:9-10. Then he added, Behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first sacrifice in order to establish the second. And by that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua Messiah once for all. A sacrifice must be made for covenant and for atonement. One thing that I didn't mention about blood covenant. The ultimate gift that one can give for a sacrifice is not oneself, but one's own son. See, a son is your heritage. Think of Abraham and Isaac. Why do you think Abraham didn't argue? Abraham showed his love, how great it was that he could covenant with the Almighty by giving his most precious gift. Think circumcision. Remember that a part of blood covenant is that there are consequences for not upholding the covenant. Let's take a look and see if that's in this new covenant. Hebrews 10, 26 through 30. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. See, the writer of Hebrews is talking to those who have entered into the covenant. They have a knowledge of the truth, but they continue to willfully walk against the instructions of the Almighty. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of Elohim and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? See, our Father gave his only Son for a sacrifice, his heritage. It's priceless. For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, Yahweh will judge his people. Our Father has always been faithful, merciful, and long-suffering. He will see his creation restored. Now, let's move back to the beginning again. Genesis 1:31. And Elohim saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Every other day, he said it was good. But on the sixth day, he said it was very good. The Hebrew word here is me'od, which means exceedingly, muchly, up to abundance. In other words, it was right. It was exactly the way it was supposed to be. To think otherwise is to accuse our Father of having a design flaw. The problem has always been man's desire, not our Father's design or covenant. The covenant that we are designed to be in has always been the same. Let's look at Hosea 6:7. But like Adam, they transgressed the covenant. There they dealt faithlessly with me. See, Hosea is speaking of a people that he will draw back to himself in the future. These people that transgressed the covenant that Adam transgressed. We have always been called to be his image bearers. That has never changed. Man is the one who has needed to change. And from the beginning, the Almighty has been drawing us to himself, patiently teaching us the covenant from instruction exiting the garden to 40 years of teaching in the wilderness to judges and prophets pointing to the way to finally giving us the perfect image bearer and giving us the power to become sons and daughters by his Spirit. Let's take a look. John 1:12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God. Now let's look at Acts 3:20 and 21. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of Yahweh, and that he may send the Messiah appointed for you, Yeshua, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which Yahweh spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. See, as I said, he's always been about restoring us. But is it restoring us to something new and different? Let's take a look. See, the Greek word there is apokatastasis. Literally means restoration of a true theocracy of the perfect state before the fall. We are not being made into something new. We are being restored to be the image bearers that we've been designed to be all along. See, it's always been, instruction was given, we're to obey it. We're to put our desires aside. Our desire is to be for Him, His ways. He supports us. He provides for us. We don't do it on our own. We see this from the beginning. We see it in the instruction in the wilderness. As they said, we will do all that you have said, all the way up to Yeshua. If you love me, keep my commandments. See, his commandments were the commandments of the Most High. We know that because he said he did not come to do his will, but the will of his Father. See, we have always been designed to be naked, exposed, in the light, without barriers before each other. Makes me think of different scriptures. Confess your sins one to another. Bear one another's burdens. Trust. If this is the covenant that we're walking in, great. If not, then you know now. Enter in. As Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh.